Okay, maybe day games just aren't the Brewers' thing this season. We react to a 2-0 shutout loss to the Orioles next on Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I am Dominic Catronio. Thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of the day. If you haven't already, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our YouTube page. We are simply Locked On Brewers. You can also follow us on Twitter at that handle as well, Locked On Brewers. I'm Dominic Catronio, the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin broadcast, former broadcaster, now turned statistician, telling you everything you need to know about the Brewers with your only daily podcast dedicated to the Midwest's favorite baseball team. I can say that because I want to. Okay, look, I know right now it seems pretty bleak, given what the offense has been doing so far here on opening weekend. First and foremost, four games in, okay? I'm going to say that a lot today, and we say that a lot for the first month of the season. You're four games in, okay? It's going to feel like it stinks. It's going to feel like the world is ending because we're coming off of basketball. We're coming off of football seasons where every loss matters. Every loss does not matter in baseball. Okay, you're four games in. I understand concerns. We're going to get into the offensive concerns. We're going to get into the pitching concerns, and we're going to talk about tomorrow. It's going to be a short, sweet, to-the-point episode because we are not hitting the panic button, okay? There is no reason to even talk about a panic button right now. For the most part, you're pretty healthy, and a lot of the stuff is fixable, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. So, again, a 2-0 loss yesterday to the Orioles, and I think it probably stings a little bit more just because it is the Orioles, right? So many people are used to seeing them tank. They're probably going to tank again this season. They're just not as good of a team on paper as the Brewers are. And, well, I understand why people would be angry at that, but there seems to be just something about the Brewers. I mean, even goes back to last season, too. This is just a casual observation of mine, and this doesn't happen every game, but there's something about the Brewers playing down to competition. And I'm not saying that they're throwing away games or anything like that, but there's just not as much juice walking into these kind of games. I mean, you remember last year, they struggled with a team like Kansas City. They went 0-4 against Kansas City last season. Minnesota, they went 2-4 against the Twins and losing the opening weekend against them. They went 8-11 against the Cardinals. And yet, despite all that, they were 2-5 against the Phillies. They were 6-1 against Diamondbacks. There's just so much flux that happens in a baseball season that you're going to drop some games to bad teams. That's what happens in baseball, and that's why we play 162 games. So let's just not hit the panic button. Let's not worry, but let's get into what actually happened in yesterday's game. It was started by Adrian Hauser, and a continuing theme from the Cubs series reemerged in the first game against the Orioles. Patient at-bats. Now, granted, Adrian Hauser did not have his sinker today, which is another theme continuing from Brewers pitchers. Their main pitch has not been there so far in this weekend, in this opening weekend of games. You know, Corbin Burns, we saw him not have the cutter. We saw Brandon Woodruff really have no command of his fastball on Saturday. Freddie Peralta was all over the place with his slider on Sunday. And yesterday we see Adrian Hauser's sinker sinking a lot more than he was expecting. So first time through the order, that's something to keep an eye on, see if they can fix that these next two times or so through the order, and trying to figure out what's going wrong, why are they getting so much movement all of a sudden, why are they not able to harness something that was a strength for them a season ago. As far as Adrian Hauser's line, he really just made one bad pitch, got himself into trouble in the second inning, and that was it. 3 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs that were both earned, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. He only threw 76 pitches, 43 of which were strikes. He was lifted in the fourth inning for Aaron Ashby. We're going to talk plenty about Aaron Ashby today. And Ashby didn't allow his inherited runner to score. He finishes with the loss in this one thanks to the Cedric Mullins bases-loaded single in the second inning with 2 outs. And that inning really spiraled out of control. And that was what we saw a lot against the Cubs. Now, if the Orioles were a better team, they would have really made you pay a lot harder. But the fact that a second-inning two-run single were the only runs scored in this game was pretty wild. I mean, it was a really kind of crummy game, quite frankly, to talk about. But, I mean, the inning started so inauspiciously. You know, Ramon Urias, yes, Luis's older brother. Ramon Urias, a bloop single into right field to lead off the inning. Then a ground out back to the pitcher, moved the runner to second. Then a great play by Tyrone Taylor in straightaway center field on a ball that he misjudged initially, going straight back, making the catch. Urias tagged and went to third, but there are two outs in a scoreless game in the second inning. And he got 8 and 9 due up. And this is where the theme reemerges. Two-out walks. The Brewers have now yielded 13 two-out walks so far in their first four games of the season. Not only is that concerning, but the overall walks number is concerning. 23 walks. And furthermore, that means the majority of the walks have been coming with two outs. That's fixable, all right? Be a little more aggressive. Figure out what's going wrong with the walks. And that's the most walks so far of teams that have played four games of baseball so far. So 23 walks. If I would have told you a month ago that, hey, the Brewers are going to have the most walks four games into the season for their pitching staff, you would have said I was crazy. Well, it happened. You can't predict it, but it happened. So they're going to try to fix that and move forward. But the two-out walks, back-to-back two-out walks to the 8 and 9 hitters, it just can't happen. And then that set the stage for Cedric Mullins, their best player, to get a base hit up the middle, score two runs, and that was all that the Orioles needed. And you tip your cap, the Brewers could not pick up what Bruce Zimmerman was throwing. They could not pick up his changeup at all. He does not factor in the decision, though, because he didn't go five innings. Zimmerman went 4 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He only threw 66 pitches. And then they go with a soft-tossing lefty into a hard-throwing righty, Bowman. Bowman was lighting it up. I mean, 96, 97 mile an hour cutters, also straightening out with a 4-seam. He got 3 strikeouts. He gets the win, working 2 1/3 innings pitched. But the pitching today, Aaron Ashby was a bright spot as well. Ashby, he goes 3 1/3, 2 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He got 10 swings and misses, and all 4 of his strikeouts were on sliders. That is certainly very, very encouraging to see from Aaron. A couple of walks, and we saw a mound visit from Chris Hook, and then it really settled him down. He got a key double play to end the 5th inning. He had back-to-back strikeouts in the 6th inning. He made a great play on a comebacker in that frame as well. He pitched well. It is not Aaron Ashby's fault. The Brewers did not win this game by a final of 2-0. Again, was the loss yesterday. But let's talk about it, man. I mean, this pitching, it's just so odd that 23 walks so far, 4 games in. And furthermore, they have now yielded 32 full counts. 32 full counts in 4 games. That's a lot of full counts. And opponents on those full counts have a 656 on-base percentage just 4 games in. That means the batters are winning these full count offerings. They have drawn 14 walks in these 32 full counts. They've only struck out 9 times. And furthermore, they are 7 for 18 when they're actually putting the ball in play with a full count. So that's a 388 average. So two things need to change for the pitching staff. Throw more strikes. Easier said than done, obviously. Number two, got to get out of these deep counts. I mean, that comes back to throwing more strikes, but so many full counts, and that's why we've only seen one pitcher, Corbin Burns, on opening day, go 5 innings so far. They have not been able to attack the way that they intended to attack this season with the strike zone. But a bright spot again, Aaron Ashby, he looked great. It was another outing for him coming out of the bullpen in this swingman role that a lot of folks have envisioned for him moving forward. You know, we saw him do this a couple of times last year. It's the second time now in his career that he's gone at least 3 innings, and he didn't allow a run. He was great, and I'm looking forward to see what else you can get out of him this season in this swingman role, or if he needs to make that spot 6th start, as Craig Counsell needs him to from time to time. That's all we're going to talk about with the pitching. Let's talk about the offense, but before we do that, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting stats and info. If you need to get a check a line, need to check a prop, need to check something like that, BetOnline.net has you covered. They have everything you could ever need. They've got basketball playoff stuff getting ready to go. Of course, still plenty of stuff available for the Major League Baseball season. Also, you've got sports developments, league reviews, and news available at BetOnline. You can use your mobile device or you can do it on your desktop. BetOnline is where the game starts. There was a great moment yesterday in the clubhouse out at Camden Yards that Adam McAlvey and Todd Rosiak were in the clubhouse and asked Hunter Renfro, hey, you're 2 for 22 with runners in scoring position so far this season. What's going on? It's 4 games in, man. And we said it with a smile. I mean, it's true. 4 games in. And there were times last season we saw the Brewers offense really, really struggle to get the hit. And that's why I think a lot of fans are frustrated with the fact that, well, it's the same team and you fired the hitting coach. Why isn't it fixed? Why isn't it happening right now? It doesn't happen overnight, man. It just give it some time. We're 4 games in, and I know that's an alarming number. 2 for 22 so far this season with runners in scoring position. And yesterday they were 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. It was not pretty, not going to lie. Didn't look great. There were a few opportunities the Brewers could not cash in against the Orioles, and that was obviously the difference, getting shut out already for the second time this season. When you go 2-for-22, you know that you expect that maybe over a couple of games, but for four games, that tells you that you're not getting many opportunities with runners in scoring position. That's averaging just about, you know, six opportunities with runners in scoring position per game so far. That's not great. You want to have more than that. So 2-for-22 is the key number for the offense that has not looked great. Another thing you got to bring up, it's been a slow start for a few key contributors that you thought would be contributing big time. Guys like Hunter Renfroe, guys like Colton Wong. Adamas hit the home run, of course, on Sunday, but he went 0-for again yesterday. He did draw a walk. But let's talk about a guy that, you know, we all are looking to have a bounce back year. It's been the story and headline of virtually every preview piece from a national perspective on the Brewers, and that's Christian Yelich. Let's draw a positive out of all this. Christian Yelich is 4-for-11 so far this year with a double, two runs batted in, four walks, and four strikeouts. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say, all right, he's MVP, he's back. But you can't sit here and tell me that the swings he's taking this season are worse or equal to the swings he was taking last season. He looks like the guy that was getting hot in August. Remember that guy that was averaging over 105 miles an hour off the bat? He looks like that guy again. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to go back to 2018, 2019 levels. But this is all we're asking from Yelich. He's hitting over 300. It's only four games in, I understand. He DH'd yesterday, which I thought was interesting as well. We can get into that with Craig Counsell and his decisions in yesterday's game. But 4-for-11, a double, two RBIs, four walks, four strikeouts. He's doing his job, okay? He is doing his job. The power will certainly come. Now, if we're at the end of April and there's still no homers, then you're going to maybe start asking, all right, what's going on here? There's something going on. But we're four games in. I just wanted to draw a positive out of this that Christian Yelich is off to a smooth sailing start. So just keeping an eye on that. Another key piece that is missing right now, Luis Urias. Reminder, Urias was second on the team in walks last year. He had over 20 home runs. He had a 790 OPS. He had a career year. When Wicho comes back, it will be a shot in the arm for the Brewers because he can hit righties. He can hit lefties. He can be a situational bat. He can go the other way. I'm excited to see when Wicho comes back, depending on how many at-bats they want to get him down in the minor leagues or if they're just going to keep him in extended spring, then bring him straight to the club. We don't know that yet. I imagine he'll be getting some ABs in AAA before he comes up to the big league club. That's another piece that you are missing right now, and I'm really excited to see what Urias can do when he returns to this team. Reminder, you are not 100% healthy. And you also got to give kudos to Andrew McCutchen. Another double yesterday. He's fitting right in with a brand new team. Playing left field, mind you, yesterday as Yelich was the DH. Granted, didn't have much action out there in left field, but he turned on the Jets on a foul ball that ended up reaching the seats. He looked healthy. He looked ready to run. I'm not worried about McCutchen whatsoever. I kind of like him in the leadoff spot against left-handed pitchers. I think it's a good fit for him. But let's talk about platoons. So far, of course, we've talked about the fact, and I just praised in yesterday's episode Craig Counsell for hitting all the right buttons, bringing in Mike Brosseau in the lefty-righty split platoon opportunity when Jace Peterson was due up facing a lefty Daniel Norris, and then decided to bring in Mike Brosseau, pinch hit home run. The rest is history. Brewers win 5-4 on Sunday. Maybe yesterday there's a little too much going on. Rowdy Tellez came in when the lefty exited the game. He pinch hit for Keston Hira. Hira had just hit a ball 106 miles an hour off the bat, off of a lefty. Brings in Tellez, and Tellez also had a good AB. Tellez ended up lining out, striking out on a fastball against Bowman. But then he was immediately lifted when another lefty came in CNL Perez for Lorenzo Cain, who promptly on the first pitch grounded into a 6-4-3 double play. I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm a better manager than Craig Counsell. It seems like it's going to be hard platoons here in the first month. I'm not defending it. I'm not against it. I'm not supporting it. I'm just saying you might see this for the rest of the month for the Brewers. Because there is a universal DH, you don't get these opportunities to easily pinch hit somebody. But there is, you know, maybe a thought in the front office of the Brewers that you have a better chance in these platoons for the entire month. Let's see what the data says at the end of the month and see what kind of production they can get out of this lineup, depending on how things look at the end of the month. They are clearly going with hard platoons, going hard righty-lefty. Tellez is not facing lefties. Hira is only facing lefties. Jace Peterson's only going to face righties. And Brock Brosseau's only going to face lefties. And so it's been firm in that regard so far. We'll see how long that lasts, and if guys are continuing to not perform off the bench, maybe that ends sooner as opposed to later. Something to keep an eye on. You're still feeling out your team because, again, we are 4 games in. I refuse to hit the panic button. Colton Wong's been off to a slow start. He did get a single, also drew a walk yesterday. He went 1-for-3, batting in the 7-hole, facing a lefty starter. He played the entire game. Victor Caratini had a base hit. He also drew a walk at the bottom of the order. It's no need to panic. We're still getting there. A lot to figure out. 4 games in. 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position certainly is something to catch your eye and be worried about. But let's let the season play out. Let's look ahead to tomorrow's game, a short episode, because, well, there's not much to talk about with the 2-0 game. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the starters. Before we do that, I'll remind you that this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. They're our friends that you can save you time and money when you're using Rock Auto, because it seems like it's impossible for your local auto chain parts store to hold everything your car could ever need. That's where Rock Auto comes in. You're not going to be questioned or, like, interrogated behind the counter as they look up from a warehouse when you can just order it straight from the warehouse yourself at Rock Auto. It's super easy. You're going to save time. You're going to save money. It's reliably low prices for every single customer. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They've got everything. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet. You can go to their website today, rockauto.com. You can see all the parts available for your car or truck. And if you write Locked On in their tab that says, how did you hear about us? Make sure you put Locked On to let them know that we sent you to Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Also, quick correction from yesterday's episode. A fan tweeted this to me. I appreciate y'all listening. Catch me when I misspeak, okay? I misspeak. I messed that up, saying that the Brewers beat the Orioles to win the pennant. I meant to say the Brewers beat the Orioles in the season finale to get into the playoffs in 1982. Don Sutton, of course, was a huge part of that series in the end of the season in 1982. That's what I meant to say. Of course, they beat the California Angels to win the pennant in the American League back in 1982. But this is your first series at Camden Yards since 2003. We saw the brand new left field. Never really came into play yesterday. Yeah, the Brewers pulled a couple of doubles down the line, but it never really came into play like maybe the Brewers or the Orioles would have expected. But I wonder if that's going to come into play today. And we finally got a night game today. Coverage begins at 5:30 on Bally Sports Wisconsin, a 6:05 first pitch. We know that Eric Lauer is pitching. Currently here at the time of recording, we don't know for sure who is going to be pitching tomorrow for the Orioles. We do not, or tonight I should say, for the Orioles. We do know tomorrow it'll be John Means. They had to make some roster adjustments from their opening weekend. It's either going to be Alexander Wells or Spencer Watkins here today. A lefty in Wells, a righty in Watkins. We'll see what Brandon Hyde chooses to do. But Eric Lauer getting the start for the Brewers, making his season debut, trying to snap the schneid. Right now, the Brewers are on a really weird stretch with their starting pitchers, of course. Last year, when you exclude doubleheaders, the Brewers not once had 3 consecutive games in which the starter pitched fewer than 5 innings. They are currently on a stretch like that right now with Woodruff, Peralta, and Hauser, who pitched yesterday. So 3 straight starts in which the starter did not go 5 innings. That did not happen at all in 2021, excluding doubleheaders, because strategy is different in a 7-inning doubleheader. So it's up to Eric Lauer, the 26-year-old, to try to snap things here. Last season, he was 7-5, a 3.19 ERA, 24 games, 20 of them were starts, 118 innings pitched for him, 117 strikeouts, a 1.138 whip. Walks were still around. He really pitched a lot better in the second half as far as home runs allowed. He allowed 16 homers total, and we'll see what that slider and the breaking ball can work for Eric Lauer, for the Ohio native getting the ball in his first start of 2022. Again, we don't know exactly who the Orioles are going to start yet, either Wells or Watkins, and we know then tomorrow it'll be Burns versus Means. This is a weird series because you're going to sit here and be mad about, you know, getting shut out by the Orioles, getting shut out on Saturday by the Cubs, what's going on with the offense. But you can win the next 2 games, win the series. You can win in assertive fashion, and people are still going to be concerned. I understand that. It's a long season, a lot to figure out. Urias is still coming back. Let's see what you can do. Just let the guys play ball. You're going to lose games to teams that you feel you're better than. That is part of baseball. I mean, look at right now. The A's are stomping the Rays right now. Like I said over the weekend, the Dodgers lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies, and the Rockies and the Tigers just beat the Red Sox today. I mean, there's just a lot that goes down in baseball. When you lose games that you think you're going to win, it's just not that easy. All right, I'm not going to hit the panic button. Short and sweet episode today here on Locked On Brewers. Again, 6 o'clock first pitch tonight. Finally, a night game. Hallelujah. We hope to see all y'all at the ballpark on Thursday as well for 4-1-4 day, the home opener against those St. Louis Cardinals. Can't wait to see it. We're going to have full reaction tomorrow to this game tonight. Brewers and Orioles, game 2 of the series is coming up tonight at 6:05. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Dominic Cotroneo. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.